Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Of course, it's exclusive on that listener app. Lee Montagna here with Wayne Carey, Damien Barrett, Daisy Thomas. Good afternoon, gents. Good evening, afternoon to you, Duff.
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. Good to be here. Love this time of week. Plenty to chat about today. So, looking forward to an interesting conversation, Damo. You've got some big stuff.
Have I?
Haven't you?
Yeah, I do. Always try to bring something to the table. And look, I think the change in fortunes of certain clubs are being based around injuries, aren't they, Joey? And there's no bigger name than Paddy Dangerfield when it comes to AFL at the moment. And he's going to miss some games with a serious ankle injury, which we'll touch on in a few moments.
Yeah, and you broke that story yesterday, Damo. So all over that. Well, hey, Duck, you're chalk and cheese from last week. Last week you came in freshly shaved in your suit. You look a bit scratchy today, mate. You've even got a bit of stubble, a bit of grey in the stubble.
A little bit grubby today. I've been helping a mate move some boxes. So you can't wear a suit doing that.
No, fair enough. How are you, Daze?
I'm very good, mate. Just one out, one back. Getting it done.
Wearing your nice pink shirt
today.
Yeah,
I've also been helping a mate move some boxes.
Would you just love to have tailed Duck for even 24 hours?
There's been a few news outlets that have done it from time to time.
I think I said this. The Amazon documentary series. Imagine just an Amazon. I think they're doing a Warnie. Has that come out, the Warnie documentary yet? The Amazon following Shane Warner. And I'd love to follow a little Amazon documentary of Duck for maybe 6 months and just see what his day's like, what he gets up to.
Very quiet.
Yeah. I don't think the cameraman or camera person would be able to keep up.
Very busy. Hey, back on to Paddy Dangerfield. As you said, you broke the story yesterday. First game back after a 3-week suspension. It's big news because the Cats are only, they're just going, Duck. I think they're doing what they need to do at this stage, but
just
the news on Patrick Dangerfield, Damo, what's the latest and what are we expecting?
So it was the knock that he sustained in the collision with Kyron Hayden of North Melbourne in the third quarter on Sunday. He was treated immediately, attempted to come back on, missed most of the rest of the game. Said post-match it was a tweak. We learnt yesterday officially that it's quite serious. Yeah. There's still a few schools of thought, even as we speak today, and as we speak, we haven't got official resolution, but there is one school of thought that it's a 10 to maybe even longer week on the sidelines type of injury. We know Paddy. We know he plays regularly hurt, played 271 games of footy, often plays banged up, Duck. And his initial reaction, I've been told yesterday, was let's work through it. So somewhere in the middle is where it may unfold.
Yeah, for a combative player, he hasn't had a lot of injuries, has he?
He's had a pretty good race. Played sore a lot, but hasn't missed a lot of long-term injuries.
For a player that plays in the manner that he does, He's had a good run with injury, hasn't he?
Is he expected to go up to Sydney and see a surgeon? Is that your mail?
I wasn't sure about the Sydney origins of the requirements there, Daze. But, again, it filtered through late last night that there was a requirement for some proper procedures, which I don't think he had his head around at that point in time.
What would you suggest to Paddy Dangerfield, Daisy? Does he play and try and play sore and not be at 100% for 6, 8, 10 weeks? We know the impact that'll have on his training and those sorts of things. Or is it best for Dangerfield, where he's at with his career, where Geelong are at, have the 10 weeks off, whether it's surgery or rest, and really prime himself for the back end of the season and having a tilt at a flag?
Yeah, I think it depends on how bad the ankle actually is. Obviously, I had some pretty bad ankle injuries over my career and tried to soldier on through them a couple of times. And look, if your form starts to waver and your club's not going great, then the pile-on becomes massive, and he's a star. So if he's underperforming and the club at the minute they're not going great, I guess the decision they're weighing up is, if he takes 12 weeks off and they're going how they are, is that a hole too big to be filled? Yeah. But, you know, I would be in the camp that if it is serious, take the time off, get yourself right, and hope that the plan goes as they've sort of come to will be better by the end of the season and he can have a real impact come finals time.
Joey, to your point, he has regularly played hurt. Yeah. He played hurt last year when he secured an 8th All-Australian jacket with what was an OP/groin problem. And while there were times he was brilliant, there were other times he could barely walk during that course of the season. So that's the way he's wired, which gets back to your view on this. And you've talked in the past about playing through a period of time anyway with a hamstring where you probably shouldn't have, or you've got to rush back after a complaint. Yeah. And it affects the rest of the year.
Yeah, it does. It's interesting in hindsight with Dangerfield last year. We were questioning why he was spending more time at full forward. So, Dangerfield's played a lot at full forward. We find out now his groins were sore and he was struggling to run out games. It's a big one. I think personally, I think he's got to trust his team that they'll win enough games without him, that they're a good enough side to get into the eight. I think for Dangerfield, where he's at in his career, what he's trying to achieve, which is win a premiership, Duck, I would suggest, if I was giving the advice, but he's certainly not asking me, have the time off, get yourself 100% right, and have a tilt at your last six or eight rounds of the season. Be peaking at the end of the year with your team and have one more crack at trying to win that elusive
play. No, I'm with you. And he's so professional in how he looks after his body anyway. You'd expect when he does come back, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, and we'll chat it later because we might be expecting Jeremy Cameron back, which might help Geelong's cause for a little while, and plenty of other injury news, and we'll touch on some other topics with you shortly. Damo, just quickly, I want to touch on AFLW, the awards last night. Congratulations to Bree Davey, Kiara Bowers winning the AFLW awards. They tied it. Duck, it was actually quite an interesting count for those that did tune in. Bree Davey was in front a long way out, and she didn't poll the last three rounds of the year, and the other girls were all coming. And she held on. So well done to her. And congratulations to the Brisbane Lions too. That was an awesome effort by them. They'd lost two previous grand finals. No one really gave them a chance this year. But it was more of a champion team. Rather than a team of champions. And Craig Starcevich did a great job, the former Collingwood Premiership player.
Absolutely. And I tuned into all the events that they happened before the actual game, Damo. I liked that it had a real grand final feel about it.
Yep.
I think all the other grand finals prior to that didn't have that real grand final feel. And I thought they did it really well. They had a breakfast, I think, or a lunch over there, Damo, in Adelaide. And we know, South Australians just love their footy. So I thought it was really, really well done. And so well done to the girls.
Got a star for the entertainment too, G Flip. She's a star. So that was cool.
Very cool. Very good. Hey, stick with us. As we said, plenty more footy news. We've still got Ducks, Duck Dive, Quick Five, and plenty more. So stay with us on Triple M's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub exclusively on the Listener app. Damo, Duck, Joey and Daisy. And Damo, plenty of news this week, but once again, Collingwood seem to be in the headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, they are, Joey. And you've now got a lack of leadership, or at least a lack of symmetry in messaging at leadership level, Duck, on the football team itself. We've known there's been a lack of direction on the board level, and that's crescendoing into something pretty significant. We've touched on this already a few times on this platform and other Triple M footy platforms, that Jeff Brown's looming from the outside of the board as the man, I feel. And people are wanting him to go in. I can't see a situation now where hasn't got his head around it doing it. So that's the way I see that unfolding now. They had a board meeting last night. It was pretty tense again, Daisy. The interim arrangement at presidency with Mark Corder and Peter Murphy has not worked. There's division on the board. And to that lack of direction I was referring to a moment ago, Duck, just want to line up this comment that Nathan Buckley made with his own captain in Scott Pendlebury. This is Buckley attempting publicly to obviously back his player Jordan Dugowie, but also to deflect blame for why he breached the AFL rule when he picked up his phone. So this was quite bizarre the other night.
All I know is that the bloke we're talking about that grabbed the phones had just been omitted from the game for concussion. So you're not thinking straight.
So there's one reason, according to one leader of the club, and you go to the captain who's got a different view, and I think the better view to present publicly.
Oh, I think if we get a warning, it's a little reminder, but if we cop a financial sanction, it's a fair warning to the whole league about that we shouldn't be doing that. I'm not too sure of what those guys did. I think they just sent a text back home just saying, letting their family know that they're okay, but obviously we know we're not allowed to do that. And I dare say that the whole competition now, that box will be locked right until the end of the game when you should be on it.
Yeah, clearly an error, and I agree. I think what Pendle said is probably more closer to the truth than Jordan having concussion, because as we know, obviously Howe didn't have concussion and he happily took the phone. But I know the integrity part of it, and I know that the phones are completely locked up, but there's got to be someone would have had a phone that if they did want to bring their family, I assume, and you're able to make that phone call. Is that correct?
Yes. There's 10 people at each club who are referred to as authorised device users. Now, it's a strange term, Daisy. That's what they are. And I reckon you're bristling with these rules as well. But rules are rules, and you've got to abide by them when it comes to integrity.
Yeah, rules are rules, as silly as they are. The integrity of the game, and they're saying they could have gone off and bet or divulged some information, sensitive information. There's 7 cameras in the room showing them that they got their boots off, their shirts off. They're clearly not playing. That would have been talked about on the broadcast of what's going to happen, who's going to go forward. they're not texting people to go and punt on the game or anything like that. They're purely sending a message. Howe's got a pregnant partner at home. His history of his knee as well. I know when you go off the ground.
Yeah, I get all of that. But don't forget, Daisy, this club in 2019, Joey, had Jaden Stevenson on its list, not only betting on Collingwood matches, but betting on his own form and goal-kicking prowess within a game. Now, that's next level. Jeremy Howe was the person who raised it with the footy club at the time. And again, I don't want to really sheet home a lot of blame to Jeremy Howe here, but surely he had an awareness when Jordan De Goey gave him his phone that, hey, I'm not really meant to be holding this right now.
He should have had a credit point. That's what he should have had. He brought it up to the attention of the AFL, the Stevenson stuff. So they should go, you know what? You are of good credentials. You should have a credit.
Clearly it's a mistake. And I think it's just another reminder for everyone, you know, obviously at football clubs not to grab their phone. They cop the fine and you move on.
How's Bucks trying to sell it? That he was concussed.
I don't think anyone bought that.
No, he's normally pretty good, Bucks, but he missed. He's
concussed, and he was just so happened to find the two correct phones.
Your other old club, Daisy Carlton, they've also been in the news again for another really poor performance. And Damo, you've taken to some of David Teague's comments, in particular post match, the conversations that he's having in these press conferences and the message that he's selling to his fans.
Yeah, Joey, sometimes it's a simple view. You refer to stats and numbers and measurements. The only one that matters is the win-loss and the score, you know, the game, which creates the win-loss. And for David Teague to be referring to winning inside 50s, winning score involvements, winning scores, it just didn't wash. Ross Lyon's got, a similar view, Joey. You and Dark speak with him on a Sunday, and he was pretty vocal on this aspect as well.
So I think what the coach is pointing out, ball use, compared to what we're seeing from the outside, which is I didn't see a desperate, hungry enough, combative team. I didn't really like it, but, you know, everyone does it differently. And you're right, probably behind closed doors, but I still think you need to send the message that it was more than ball use.
For your fans?
100%.
Yeah, the press conferences these days seem to be as much about PR and the message you're sending your fans as it is answering the questions that you get given. Because I'm sure all the coaches, you can take any snippet and the coach can say, I was just answering the question I was asked. Oh, I think Ross Lyon's point was really valid in that the one snippet they're going to show of your press conference, you want to have a strong statement. And I think Ross is referring, well, I know he's referring because it was always with St Kilda, to the team's effort. He wanted to hear David Teague say, look, we did a lot right with our ball movement, but that doesn't matter. If our effort is not at 100%, at a life and death style, like we, you know, are playing like our life depends on it, the rest doesn't matter. And that's going to be the issue that we are going to focus on during the week. That's the issue that we're addressing. And that's all that matters. And that would please the fans. They would sit back and nod their head and go, yes, Teague, we know at times the ball movement was good. We know at times you butchered the footy, but thank you, because that's what we're seeing. And I think that's what Ross was referring to, Doug.
No, that's exactly what he was referring to. And he was very strong on it. Obviously, it went a lot longer than what the snippet we just heard there. And I agree. And David Teague probably is giving a stronger message behind closed doors about effort.
Yep.
But as Ross alluded to, I think the fans, I think they deserve more because they see what we see.
Yeah, they're not silly. They're not silly when they're at the ground watching it or watching on TV. They're not silly with what they're seeing.
To some extent, I feel a bit sorry for David Teague because he's inherited this list that's come from Brendan Bolton and under not just Brendan's fault, but they had the vision to play kids. So they were getting 50 games into your Zach Fishers, your Sam Petreski-Settons, Tom Williams.
Harry Mackay.
Those sort of blokes. So Mackay's the one who's come on, but the others, the effort isn't there for long enough. And that's purely on the back of the fact that there was no ramifications for poor performance when they were in their infancy of their careers. So that ability, you know, games are won. You see a Richmond, they're, you know, arm wrestle, they break you open in the last 15, 20 minutes. The ability of the younger Blues players who are now maturing into 50, 60, 70 games players isn't there, and they can't contain and sustain that message for long enough.
But I think when you look at their list, though, Joey, when you look at what they have put together and the picks that they've had and then the players that they've got in from other clubs over the last few years, we all sat there and thought, okay, with the right effort and the right coaching, this is a team that could play finals footy. I certainly thought that. And now, and because of those things and because of what Ross was saying, what we're all looking at, they're not playing finals footy this year, Carlton.
No, they're not. And
you're ruling them out.
They're not playing finals footy.
Well, what they're doing at the minute isn't up to the standard to play finals footy. And I know Paddy Cripps has had a lot of the attention put on him as the captain. I sort of raised it this week that maybe Sammy Doherty needs to put his hand up and take some of that load off Paddy Cripps. Paddy Cripps is one who's trying to play his role for the team, probably above and beyond. But Doherty down there, he's a leader of that footy club. Their back line is the issue at the minute. It's not the midfield, it's not the forward line. Their back line is leaking goals horrifically, and he is a lot to blame for that.
Just two other quick ones, Damo, with injuries. Buddy Franklin, that's such a shame because he looked sharp, didn't he? We got back to what we expect of him, the five goals.
He's been back for three matches. He kicked three goals, and then five goals, and then copped the knock on the knee in the game, which has become bone bruising. He's out. It's indefinite, and let's hope it's closer to three than six.
Yep. And Jeremy Cameron, last one, we expect him to play this weekend for the Cats.
It seems this will be the unveiling of Jeremy Cameron as a Cat against West Coast. They wanted to obviously do it at home with Dangerfield part of the team, but that's looking very unlikely.
Duck, I want to ask you, what are your expectations of Jeremy Cameron missing the first 5 weeks, coming into a new club? Do you think he'll hit the ground running? Do you think he'll take his time? What are your expectations of Jeremy Cameron?
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Hammy, was it a Hammy?
Yeah.
So it's
off-season how much, Hammy and then another
second
one.
Second one, yeah.
It really is how much work you can put in. And I know that, you know, there's swimming and there's bike and there's all sorts of stuff. And then there's an element, because it's taken him a little bit longer, Daisy, I assume that he's put in a fair bit of running over the last couple of weeks especially, and that's built up.
There might have been a slight setback too, which Bill Brownless has been all over.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, look, you can't expect him to come into a new team and absolutely dominate. Look, I'm not a believer. If you've got footy IQ and you can play footy, all this rubbish about it's going to take them time to connect and gel and all that's a load of crap. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I think if you can play footy, you come in and you adapt and you know where to run and where not to run. You don't run into people's, you don't run up their backside. You also don't run into their space. That's just footy IQ. So I think he has that.
Yep.
So I don't think it'll take them time to gel at all. But in terms of his form, I think we've got to give him a little bit of leeway.
Yep. Tomahawk is also a very smart footballer as well. So it's not like you've got one who's a genius and one who's just a deer in the headlights. So I expect him to have a big impact early, but then it's sort of the second, third, fourth week of backing up where you struggle.
Always.
Who's the biggest deer in the headlight you've come across, Dave? An opponent or a teammate? You can answer that question next week if you prefer some think time.
I might have to create a list. How long does the show go for? That's a pretty good conversation with blokes at Carlton mid-game and just sort of got the old look back of like, what are you talking about?
I think if you went through every list, Damo, I think there's, if a really, really strong footy club, you might have five or six maximum that have really good footy IQ.
Yeah.
And the rest are, they need their coach to tell them exactly where to go, where to stand and what to do.
And if you
that's
go,
a lot of them.
You go watch the footy on the weekend, Joe Blow in the stands can see the one where the game's unfolding in front of them and he's like, you've just kicked it to the opposition. Okay, what are you doing? Very good.
Hey, stay with us because after this, we're going to drill into Duck and we're going to get Duck's Duck Dive Quick Five.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub exclusively to the listener app, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
Of course, you're referring to your bad shoulders, Duck. That's what you keep telling us. Hey, quick five. I want your honest thoughts. Boys, jump in if you have a view. I asked you last week about Darcy Moore. Where should he play? Now that you've seen him have one game up forward and without Jordan Dugowie and Jeremy Howe for Anzac Day, where do you believe he should play this week?
He's got to go back down, back to the back line. He can't play for it. And when he does, and everyone that said, he kicked three goals, which is the most for Collingwood, two of them were in the last quarter when the game was over. He had four possessions up to three-quarter time. He's an All-Australian defender. Put him back to the back line where he plays his best footy and don't disrupt him anymore.
He didn't touch it in the second and third quarters. Did not touch the pill. And how was just West Coast being caught so unawares? Every media outlet in the nation had said, Darcy Moore should go forward. That'll fix it. So Collingwood obliged.
And what do you think?
So how are they going to kick a goal on
the Bombers?
Day?
And what do you think the Bombers? What do you think the Bombers forwards? You know, they're going, I hope Darcy Moore is playing forward.
Yeah.
I mean, last week, Allen and Kennedy and Darling would have just thought, how good is this? We've got Darcy Moore's not here.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
At the other end.
But how do they kick
I'd
goals?
Be going again. Yeah. I know it's a minority view on the two learned gentlemen here, but I'd be going again because it is Essendon and it's not West Coast. Let's see how it goes against the team.
He's a 10 possession forward. That's what he...
Yeah, but that might be a five-goal, three return.
And he's a five-goal saving defender.
How many times has Darcy Moore kicked five goals when he played
once, four? Once. Yeah, in about his fourth game. Yeah, and he hasn't played
so
that many games.
So he's done it once.
Yeah, he has done it once. Okay. I think anyone who's done it once in their third or fourth game.
And you just declared that he's going to kick five on Anzac Day if he plays forward.
You said he's a 10-possession player. I said that could become a 5-3.
He's a 10-possession forward. He's a 20-plus possession defender and a dashing one at that and an interceptor at that.
He was leaking goals, Duck. Even that good game he had against Carlton, Harry Mackay still kicked four.
He kicked four, but if it wasn't for Darcy Moore, they
might have lost
the Blues probably would have won.
Yep.
Good chat. Hey, question two. I like that. Would you pay Max Gawn $1 million to go to your club or to stay at Melbourne? Would you pay Max Gawn $1 million? Is he $1 million player now?
I don't think ruckmen are $1 million players. And I'm a big fan of he played. By the way, he was brilliant on the weekend. But I just don't think. And let's not forget, he's closer to the end than he is.
Yep. 26.
Finish. So, yeah, he's a superstar. But no, not $1 million. I wouldn't pay.
Daisy, you were all over there. Can he win the Brownlow? No, you're all over. Can he win the Brownlow?
I think he can. He's been very, very good. Obviously, Petrarca's probably the one in the side at the minute that's taking votes from him. But he is a big man who sticks out. Look, can you pay a bloke who punches darts on the way to training $1 million?
He used to. Maybe once, I think.
We all forget that he had two knee recos before his career started. It's been a remarkable career. I'm a fan, Joey. Not $1 million.
Yeah.
980.
Save that for the real 980.
980.
Right. I'm a big fan, though, of what he does around the footy club. He's obviously a really good leader. Yeah. The boys love playing with him. You can see at the minute, I was knocking Melbourne. The gel and the synergy they've got at the minute is what's taking them above and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. Duck, question three. Do you retract last week's retraction about St Kilda?
Yes. They're cooked.
You should have stuck to your guns.
They're cooked. No, well, as I said, I got some very colourful feedback from all the Saints supporters. But then, to their credit, let me know that I might have been right. The Saints, the thing, Joey, and you're obviously Saints, we talked about Carlton before. To me, it looks like their effort wavers from week to week. When their effort is at a really high level, they look like a very good team. When that effort isn't there, they look very ordinary.
Yep. Yeah. You agree?
Couldn't agree more.
Question four. Which of these young key forwards would you pick to have in the next 10 years? I'll quickly go through them to give you some time. Max and Ben King, Harry Mackay, Oscar Allen, Georgiades, or Logan McDonald?
Ooh, geez, good list.
The next 10 years.
Mm. Yeah.
Which of these young? Because we've got some young key forwards coming through. We haven't had any... Well, you've been a bit critical of key forwards for a while. We've only had Kennedy and Hawkins.
I'll tell you why it's tricky, because you've got Oscar Allen, who's over there developing at a really nice pace with Kennedy and Darling. Mm. So he's the third banana. He gets the third best big defender. So he's able to just do what he wants. Then you've got the two King boys, who are the number one forward of their respective teams. So they're developing in a different manner. Sometimes that can be really beneficial. And later in your career, because then all of a sudden you get a little bit of support around you and you're made to do the hard work early. So they're all Georgiades I like. He's got some real talent. And then the other one was
Logan McDonald. And we haven't seen enough of him yet.
But he looks likely. What I like about McDonald is the way he uses his left foot. He's very good on his left foot. Work rate. What I do like about all of those guys, and as a key forward, if you work hard and you get to enough contests, you'll become a really good player. That's the whole key. So for me, it's who really wants to work the hardest out of that group. But so I'm not prepared to give you one.
Yep.
But obviously Allen looks like the more likely now because of the support he has around him.
Yep. I don't know if you've left him out on purpose, Joey, but Norton from the Bulldogs.
Mm. His work rate's probably the best out of all of them.
So he would 100% be, he is.
Yeah.
If you were to throw him in, I'm saying Norton.
And because
it's his second, third effort.
Yes.
And the way he really crashes packs. He really launches himself at the footy. So I think he's ahead of all of those.
Yep. I think there's a good lesson there for the King boys, just to watch Aaron Norton, just see how he goes about it. And they can take their game to the next level. And last one, Duck, tonight on main event, pay-per-view on Foxtel, Paul Gallen, the ex-NRL star, is fighting Lucas Brown.
Now, are you going to pay for it?
I might sneak down to a pub maybe and just watch it. I wouldn't pay for the whole night, maybe just to watch that fight.
But Tony Jones, just on that, had some friends around way back in the Danny Green.
Charged them $10 a head.
Yeah, they charged them $9.48, but they got a couple of each, and they got a couple of party pies thrown in while he charged them for the pay-per-view that he did.
It's always one of those ones you want your mate to put it on, and you can just pop over to your mates. But your exploits in the boxing ring, you could box it. Have you ever been in a... You've never been a professional?
No, just training. It's great. The good thing about boxing, and a lot of people do it now, your fitness, hitting the pads and all, there's nothing better for your fitness and doing that. But I don't have a great deal of interest in that particular...
Jumping in for a pay-per-view.
Or that particular fight. Yeah, I don't have a great deal of interest. I did have an interest with Barry Hall, because I thought Big Baz and Paul Gallen. But not so much this one.
Fair enough. Hey, stick with us, because after this, we're going to have a look ahead to this weekend's games, look at our certainties and get all our predictions for this week.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively to the listener app. Now let's take a look, first before we go to the round this weekend, round six, and have a look to the Anzac Day weekend. We have to always go back, have a look, take some accountability for our own selections and our certainties, and let's see how we went last week.
I'm going to the Battle of the Bridge. I'm going to go with the Swans.
Swans won't lose.
I reckon the Swans will... And by the way, GWS had a good win, so this is no...
justified. So yep, thank you. First six pack for you.
By the way, what was it? 30 seconds to go and kick a goal.
Hate's being wrong, doesn't he? Yeah. You got this one wrong, so you owe us a six pack at the end of the year. Did anyone else get one wrong, Rabsy?
I'm going out on a limb, Joey. I'm going to take the Hawks to beat the D's.
What?
See, I like that.
The Hawks to beat the D's.
$3.80.
Did roll my eyes straight away when you said that.
When they were 4 points down at the 5 minute mark of last quarter. Here he comes.
Six pack for you as well. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm keeping a running tally. Damo owes us 18 beers and we're all.
No, it's only 12, I think. But
12. Yeah. Okay, we'll keep it 12. Six pack for the rest of us. Damo, you went with Geelong. You went out on a limb there to beat the Kangaroos.
The winless North Melbourne.
That was gutsy. And I took West Coast to beat Collingwood. So we were a bit soft this week. We will have to go last this week, Damo. Okay. But let's get ahead to look at these rounds, because there are some absolute beauties. And the first one I want to touch on is Geelong versus West Coast. We've spoken about some injuries. There's a concern about Josh Kennedy at West Coast. It's down at the Cattery. Who do you like in that one, Duck? Geelong, West Coast.
They're hard to beat down there, but I think that West Coast are travelling better. I know that they lost a couple of weeks ago, but the Cats are just going, like you said. Yeah. So I'm going to go with West Coast.
West Coast. Damo, who do you like in that one?
I'm going to go the Cats in that one.
I'm going to go with West Coast as well. I just think purely on form, they're in better nick. You can't just change it, as we've seen. And Geelong's form, including the Amy Community Series, has been subpar.
Yeah, I think Geelong, for me, I really like them at home. I think they're very hard to score against. If Josh Kennedy doesn't play for the Eagles, I think it makes it hard. I'm going to take, everyone's happy, I'm going to take the Cats as my certainty.
Okay.
I think they will definitely beat West Coast at home. So I'll take that one.
Yep.
The other big game where there's always plenty on the line, Daisy, Carlton v Brisbane at Marvel Stadium. There'll be more fallout if Carlton lose this one. But also for Brisbane, they've got to try and get a few wins on the board. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think Brisbane really got their season going last week. Sometimes you just need a big win just to get everything back in, realise that we are capable of playing good footy. Joey Danaher got on the end of a few as well. So their confidence will be high. And for the Blues, it's just very tough to tip them, isn't it? The expectation round one, round two, Richmond, Collingwood, they might be a chance, no good. And then they beat the two teams they should. And then last week they falter again. So I see this one playing out as expected, that the Lions probably win by three or four goals.
And if you three guys are happy, I'm going to take the Lions as my certainty this week. If I can jump in there and do that, for the same reasons Daisy said regarding the Blues, I just don't trust them against a team which is on paper better than them.
Yep. Yeah, I like the Lions as well. I think they'll be too strong.
Beautiful. Damo's got that as his certainty. The big one on Anzac Eve, Melbourne v Richmond, the two hottest teams in the competition, along with the Western Bulldogs. This will be an absolute cracker.
Won it. Yeah.
I think, as I said, Melbourne are the real deal. I don't necessarily think they have to win to prove they are the real deal. They can lose and still be legitimate. I mean, there's no disgrace in losing to the Tigers, but I think they'll take it right up to Richmond. I think this will be an absolute cracker. It'll go either way. I'll still say Richmond will win, but I still think after this weekend, we'll still think Melbourne are a legitimate real deal this year.
Yeah, we're going to find out, aren't we, really, where Melbourne are at. I think if you look at them on paper right now, Richmond have got a couple, obviously, key guys out. Melbourne are travelling better. I think I might go out on a limb and tip Melbourne. Once again, I think they proved last week, that last quarter, because they were paddling. Mm. And to do what they did in the last quarter, I think will give them a great deal of confidence where they're at. And I think they can upset the Tigers and show the competition that they maybe are the real deal.
I'm going to take Richmond as my certainty.
Really? Okay. Yep. Richmond is a certainty.
And if Melbourne are competitive and lose by under two or three goals, I'll change my complete view on them. But I think just at the minute, they haven't beaten anyone. Yes, you can only beat who's in front of you. This is their biggest test. And I reckon the Tigers, they live for these sort of games. They'll be like, right, the new up-and-comers, come watch how the big boys do it.
It's a massive one. The other big one is GWS and the Bulldogs on Friday night, because they have history, these two.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't really like one another. They and obviously, Leon Cameron being an ex, you know, so there is some real history there. I'm going to take the Bulldogs as my certainty. They are just humming along. And GWS have been brave the last couple of weeks, but not against the Bulldogs. They are flying at the moment.
Damo, any chance while the Dogs are full of confidence up and about that they target Toby Green? They almost jump on the front foot. They've got long memories. They remember what he did to Bontempelli. Do you think while they're up and about, while they've got their chest puffs out, they might target Toby Green? Or do you think they just don't worry about it and just play footy?
Yeah, I think it's the play footy component. They've chosen to go into it that way. I think it disrupts their workings if they go down another path. And
he likes it. He's a player that likes it. So if you don't poke the bear.
But you've got to try and do something. He's kicked 5-5 and then one goal 7.
They got him last time, if you call. Right. They got him in the home and away last year when it was the Giants who tried something a bit with trickery with the coin toss with Toby being captain, even though Cornelio had just been appointed. So, yeah, look, I love it as much as anyone. I love it. The fact that it goes back to the 16 prelim final, then the Nick Haynes and Bontempelli issue of 2019, Duck, and then the Bontempelli targeting.
There is real feeling, isn't
real feeling,
it?
Yeah.
Good. And the last one, Anzac Day, of course. We've got to speak about that one. Collingwood v Essendon. Oh. Daisy, this is a big one. I'm going to go Essendon. I think without...
This is your certainty?
No. My certainty was the Cats to beat the Eagles. But I think Essendon, without Jordan Degoe and Jeremy Howe, I think they're two huge outs. Taylor Adams, who I think is their most important midfielder, also out. Yeah. Collingwood, I don't know how they're going to score, depending on where Darcy Moore plays. I think Essendon have been pretty good, and I think they'll step up Anzac Day, and I reckon they'll run Collingwood off their legs.
I'm prepared to say if Darcy Moore plays forward, I'm tipping the Bombers. If he plays back, I'm tipping Collingwood.
Okay, all right.
What if he plays some quarters forward and some back?
we'll come back cooked. To that one. What do you reckon? Quick one, Days?
I think it's going to be a red-hot contest. I'm going to tip the Pies purely because I think they've got more to play for, and I know that's sort of a throwaway line, but if they lose this one, the Jungle Drums will be there. Jay-Z will be on Bucks' doorstep. And
I'm tipping the Bombers.
You're tipping the Bombers.
Yeah. Ooh.
I've got it.
Yeah, and you're presuming Darcy Moore will play forward then.
Pies for me, Joey.
You've gone Pies as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's going to be another big weekend of footy. Looking forward to it. Some cracking games. Thank you for joining us again, boys. We'll be back to do it all again next week. And, of course, don't forget, you can listen to every game across Round 6 on Triple M, starting with Friday night's grudge match between the Giants and the Bulldogs, live from 7 o'clock with Howie, Darce, Jason Dunstall, Nath Brown, Damian Barrett, Ash Chua. And, of course, on Sunday, it'll be a triple header on Triple M.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.